Welcome to Absolutely Necessary.
Sir.
What are you doing? For the love.
Sir, turn off
for
the music.
For the love. Really? Get it off!
Oh my god.
You have an issue with cool beats?
I have an issue with you jumping over the start of the show.
Oh, alright, here we go.
And,
Music wasn't done. Oh, wait.
Are we about to do another intro for this?
Jackson, do the
intro. Oh, it came back.
Jackson, do the intro. I'm so mad I can't talk.
Alright, welcome back to Absolutely Necessary. Logan, is kind of mad right now, so I'm doing the intro. Shut up, Diego! My name is Jackson Lair, along with the host, Logan Tracy, and my counterpart, Jacob Masick.
I swear, if you don't turn it off, I'm going to take your computer and I'm going to break it. You got to stop, my guy.
Jacob, the episode is
started.
Cease
and desist!
It is a fire song, but we need to get into the sports because there's a lot to talk about. Logan, what is on the docket for us today?
Well, first things first, let's get right into it and talk about the big game this weekend, the Super Bowl, which I remember saying would be one of the most entertaining Super Bowls in NFL history, and boy, was I incredibly wrong.
You're wrong.
I could not have been more wrong.
Oof.
The Super Bowl was, I guess the best way to say it was uneventful, kind of boring. What was it? I don't even remember the score. Off the top of my head, was it 13-3?
13-3.
It was 13-3.
Too little.
I'm confident.
Here is literally the noises that were made in all households throughout America.
And those are the noises made by our viewers at home right now.
Yeah, that is very true.
I was right. It was 13-3.
Also, that is very false because we have a banging show for you today. So do not.
Please don't fall asleep on us.
Please
but,
share us.
Talk about the game. I guess I don't know what
is there to talk
say.
About.
It was just boring. Great defensive game by both teams.
I disagree with that. I would like to say it was a bad offensive game. I would not say it's a great defensive game.
Patriots.
I would say the offensive adjustments that were made were not great on both sides. And I do not think it was a battle back and forth. I think it was more of a one-sided thing. So I think it was settled before we came in. The offenses,
I don't think any of it
the
felt
offenses
like a
were not prepared. So I don't think it was a great defensive game where it was a structured counter of what the offense was doing. Because honestly, the offenses just didn't come in ready to get adjusted all the times. And really, the only time I saw adjustments being made was when they recalled the same play for Gronk and two plays later because they saw an opening and they got him the ball on that 30-yard catch. That was really the biggest turning moment for me in the game.
I mean, I'm going to disagree with you on two fronts. One, I don't think any part of this game was a battle. I think it was kind of...
I said it's not a battle.
Oh.
I said no battle.
Yeah, this game was just... It was boring.
The Rams didn't have a single
It was like watching people play cards.
Yeah.
Like, you're not playing cards. You're sitting there and you're watching people play peanut.
Except they used one card the whole time. Each person. So you knew the outcome.
It was like watching poker, but like every hand was
it's
just like
same.
A 2 and an 8.
And yeah.
Like,
and
what
nothing,
am I going to do with
not,
this?
Not nothing happened. They were just doing the same thing over and over again. Type of thing.
Yeah. It was abysmal. But I have to give the Patriots where credit is due. They arguably had the best defense ever in a Super Bowl.
I mean, that's...
Arguably. Like, 3 points has never been recorded ever in the history of the NFL.
That's why I want to fight what he said, because I think the Patriots did really show out defensively.
They
had a fantastic game plan to shut down the Rams. I know Sean McVay, after, admitted that he was out-coached in a sense, but I don't think you can discount the performance that the Patriots had on defense. They countered everything the Rams did. And the Rams did not adjust well. I agree with you. It was a game of lack of offensive adjustment. But I think a lot of credit goes to the Pats defense. And the Rams defense wasn't bad for what it was given. Most of the time, if you allow 13 points, you're probably going to win the game. But it was just an utterly devoid of offense game. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Just boring. Is there anything else we can add about it, really?
Todd Gurley, I told you guys in the last podcast, the Rams didn't get Todd Gurley going, the Patriots going to win this game. And what happened? Todd Gurley was completely shut out. 3 carries for 10 yards in the first half. Are you kidding me, Todd?
That was more of a usage thing. And when Sean McVay said that he was planning on using him more, I still had my doubts. I did think they were going to split him and C.J. Anderson, which they did do.
Well, I mean, but yeah. But that doesn't give you... When you have Todd Gurley, who was an MVP candidate for most of the season, like, you have to make sure that he's incorporated. And in the biggest stage in the entire world, how do you not utilize your best player on the team? I don't understand. 3 carries? You give your boy 3 carries. And you wonder why you didn't make it to the red zone once that game.
Do you know who technically had 2 carries?
Who?
Tom Brady.
You're kidding.
2 kneels. Still count as carries, though. Look at that.
Average of -1 yard.
My hot take for the game, which I will stand by, and is probably the most entertaining thing to come out of the game for me, is that I think Julian Edelman should not have been the MVP.
Interesting.
I believe that MVP should have gone to the guy who closed the game down and had more of an impact in the second half, I thought, which was Sony Michel. I thought Sony Michel on 18 carries for 94 yards and the game's sole touchdown deserved the MVP. Though, not to say that it's bad that Edelman got the MVP. He was deserving. I just thought that Sony Michel happened to be more deserving, in my opinion. But let's talk about Julian Edelman. Because he was really... He and Gronk and Michelle were kind of the only people on any offense that showed up. Actually, I mean, it's going to be hard to argue against Brandon Cooks, who had 8 receptions for 120 yards. But, I mean, just... I guess the Patriots have a solid base going into next year. If you look at them offensively with Michelle and Edelman and... I mean, hopefully Gronk stays. Gronk showed out. What did the Rams do wrong? Because, I mean, we got to focus on that Rams offense because it was one of the best offenses in the league this year. We definitely thought it was going to be a more high-scoring game. What happened to the Rams offense? Can anybody add anything? Jacob, you've been pretty silent.
Yeah, I don't have anything to say.
I mean, honestly, we're grasping at straws.
Honestly, it was abysmal.
It left us really nothing to talk about. You gotta just talk about the stuff after the game. And I guess I'm gonna flip back to Edelman, because I wanna ask
you... And the Gatorade was poured on Bill Belichick, and that was the most interesting part of the whole entire night.
It really was.
That was my prop bet right there.
Yeah, it
was...
including the halftime show, bro, like...
I mean, what was even entertaining from the entire Super Bowl?
I'm just going to be honest. When Travis Scott hit the stage, the auto-tune was not present, and the mic may have been broken. Halftime show review, I would probably go with a 3 out of 5. Not
the
impressive.
The nicest thing I can say about this halftime show is it was better than last year's.
I think they should go... Yes, yeah. I think they should go with a little bit more of what the city pride is rather than bringing somebody in from outside. So I think for Atlanta, it should have been, because they have a big hip-hop culture, I think it should have been Migos or someone from around there.
They brought big in boy. Travis Scott and Big Boy.
Big yes, Boy.
Which is not as big in the culture. Travis Scott is, of course, but he was not featured for that long. Maroon 5 was the featured performance. I think I'm a bigger supporter of people in their home state of embracing the musicians that grew up in that state.
Which means next year in Miami, we're getting Pitbull.
Yep. Ugh. Como esta mucho.
If you want the
gracias.
Halftime show to get better, the last person that should be running the halftime show is Pitbull. What, like, just go through the entire game. Commercials and anything, what even stood out? Because all I remembered was the disgusting Chunky Milk commercial.
No.
And then we just started to call CJ Chunky Milk.
I was actually impressed with the Super Bowl ads this year. Like, a lot of people were saying, like, it was bad. The few that, like, there were a few good ones. Like, I like the Pepsi commercial with Steve Carell.
Yeah.
That made me laugh.
Pepsi was one of the best.
Yeah. The, hold on. What was the other one with the NFL players?
It was the, I can't remember.
The gala.
It was like their with the gala. And that, that was entertaining.
That was pretty cool.
I remember Chunky Milk.
Remember that stupid robot thing?
That baby robot tax thing freaked me out.
Okay, the highest rated commercial from the halftime was the 100-year game by the NFL.
Okay, that was a good commercial. Like,
Amazon Alexa, second. Not everything makes the cut.
I don't remember that.
It was where they invented new Alexa things, like the dog's collar and stuff like that.
Oh, I feel like they had already seen that commercial.
Microsoft We All Win went 7.07 with the adapted controllers for people with
disabilities. I had already seen that commercial. I didn't really consider it a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, same.
They do consider it a Super Bowl commercial.
I don't.
Hyundai
won
4th. Yes, Hyundai. With the elevator commercial where they were going up and down the elevator and they got to the Hyundai one. And everyone else was going to, like, their colonoscopy and stuff. Mm-hmm. That was a really good one.
Oh, that was the one with the vegan joke that got a lot of people mad. But it made me laugh, kind of.
And that, so out of 10, actually, these results weren't as great. Even the top one was 7.69 out of 10. So each of these were in the 7s. And then start rounding out the top 5 and top 6 was the coach who wouldn't be here.
The Anthony Lynn one.
Yeah. With his first responders. And then
I had already, like, watched those online because they had, like, the whole series going with that. They're very good.
And then I'm just going to do one more, but this was one of my personal favorites. The M&M's Bad Passengers one. That was hilarious.
That was pretty good, too.
Yeah, so...
Was there even a Doritos one?
Yeah, there was in the beginning. It was, like, a mermaid one.
I am not seeing it here in the rankings.
That was, like, a whack... alcohol drink or something.
Oh, the avocados from Mexico one was pretty funny, too.
Let's see which
one
was.
It was when,
off the top of my head. I have to get reminded.
It was the dog show one. Where,
let's
like,
go through the top 5 worst.
The
you guys remember the commercial of the guy eating the burger?
Oh, yeah. That
Andy
weird
Warhol?
Burger King
That
one?
Was Burger King.
That was dumb.
And that was weird. Very weird. I did not understand that commercial at all. And then the second worst was Wix.com.
I don't remember what they did.
It was just Carly Gloss talking about Wix.com.
I still don't remember that at all.
Number 56 out of 58 was
what the heck?
TurboTax RoboChild.
Yeah, that one freaked me out. That stuck with me because it freaked me out.
Yeah. I mean, it stuck with you. Maybe that's what they were going for. Turkish Airlines The Journey was just kind of like an airplane, so...
I don't remember that, but
people
I know Turkish
bored.
Airlines is
and
kind
then,
of a meme.
Rounding out 54 for 58 was the... Purcell Pro Clean the Deep Clean level.
Oh, the Toy Story one was pretty good too.
They did have like the movie trailers, but I don't really think of those as like Super Bowl commercials.
No, they don't have those
trailers. I don't count those.
And then Mint Mobile rounds out the bottom 5 with
Chunky Style. Yeah, that was the Chunky Milk.
Chunky Style Milk.
Only reason
I
remember that is
that much higher.
See, the only reason I remember that though is because we started calling CJ Anderson Chunky Milk like halfway through the game.
Yeah, I know.
I think it was because we were bored.
I know commercials, but, like, people will remember that commercial, and that's the purpose of commercials, so I think they did a good job.
Yeah, but I'm never going to use Mint Mobile.
Well, some people might know what it is.
And I'm never going to use TurboTax, because the creepy baby freaked me out. And I'm just never going to pay my taxes now.
And you're... Okay. Interesting.
You
guys... One of my personal favorites that was weird was the Bon and Viv Spike Seltzer with them as mermaids under the sea.
I would say the most disappointing thing of all the Super Bowl is that they teased Sweet Victory on us, and then, like, I didn't mind that they went sicko mode. I just hate that they teased Sweet Victory. Like, we were so close to getting the greatest song in history, and then just, we got sicko moded.
Yeah, it's terrible. Three more commercials I want to mention. I want to mention the Gucci Mane one, Expensify This.
That was the one with the Parks and Rec dude.
2 Chainz, sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
It
was the one where Adam Scott walked in.
Yeah,
That one made me laugh.
That's classic. Medieval Barbers, where they were cutting everyone's hair the same with the, like, the shells over their head.
Oh, that was
Bud
the
Light.
Dumb Bud Light ones.
That was funny. I can't believe the Bud Knight died, too, on the,
That made me hate that commercial. I'm like, really? Really?
You're
gonna promote Game of Thrones and you're gonna kill off a mascot?
I tuned out the Bud Light ones. I just don't care.
Stupid. People got mad at me because, like, do you watch Game of Thrones? I'm like, no. I don't care.
No, I watch
sports.
It kills
Bud Knight. Stupid.
Alright. I guess let's just talk about two more things from the game. I've seen some traction online for Julian Edelman to be a potential Hall of Famer at the end of his career. Obviously, he'll have a few more years ahead of him that will change opinion, but if he retired tomorrow, Julian Edelman's not a Hall of Famer. Do you think Julian Edelman's a Hall of Famer?
I don't think so. He would be the most mediocre player.
What?
You think Julian Edelman's a Hall of Famer?
No.
Oh, okay.
If he would be a Hall of Famer, he'd be like the most mediocre player in that entire hall.
I don't know.
He made one good catch in the Super Bowl.
He's got the second most receiving yards in playoff history.
Okay.
And he's come up with some of the most clutch playoff catches ever.
Okay, so did David Tyree, but like...
Exactly! That's my point that I'm trying to make. Right. David Tyree made one of the greatest catches in
probably the most. We're not saying
that David Tyree's a Hall of Famer. Like, Julian Edelman has these great playoff stats, but he hasn't put up enough stats in the regular season. He hasn't had the longevity and sustained success over a career.
Bless you.
That would put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no,
Does anybody think he is? Jacob, you gonna play devil's advocate or no?
No.
Okay. And then is Tom Brady the GOAT now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tom Brady already was the GOAT, so.
Yeah. This.
I'm not a Patriots fan, disclaimer.
Oh, none of us are.
Like, I'm not a Saints fan, but I respect the hell out of Drew Brees. So, like,
that's 10 push ups. What? But you use
hell
it for is... respect, so we'll use 5.
Hell is not a swear word.
There's like 8 swear words. What are you talking about?
Come on, son.
Yeah.
That is not a swear word.
Don't call me your son. That's a very disrespectful.
We'll talk about it later. We'll hit appeals court.
Okay.
Appeals court.
Hello, appeals court in session.
Fine, I'll just do my 5 push-ups now.
5? You get half?
I'm cutting it in half because he used it as a form to respect a great quarterback in Drew Brees. So I don't think... Did you see, though, LeBron made the case that... Tom Brady was the GOAT because he has 6 rings. But did that kind of undercut his statement that he's the GOAT because Michael Jordan has 6 rings? Like, that's the one thing I took from it. Is I just saw, like, and I was scrolling through Twitter looking for anything to talk about because the Super Bowl was so boring. And that's the one thing I saw. There's the, like, LeBron made the case that Tom Brady's the GOAT because of his 6 rings. But did that, like, cut his point and make Michael Jordan the GOAT? Which... We're not going to get into it right now, but do you think LeBron's the GOAT?
No. If he wins with the Lakers, he would be, I think.
That's fair.
I'm with Jackson.
I say MJ's the GOAT.
MJ is the GOAT right now.
Right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? We're not going to talk a lot more NFL games for the rest of the year. The only thing we'll really talk about is obviously draft, when we keep doing our mock drafts and off-season pickups and all that. So let's do a little way too early Super Bowl prediction. Couple of days. So let's say, like, you know, 363 days from now, we'll be playing a Super Bowl. I can't remember the exact time. But who's playing in it? Who do you guys think? Let's do our way too early Super Bowl predictions.
Should we just talk about what the odds came out? Wrong.
I mean, I don't care about the odds. I want to know your guys' pick.
I think we should talk about the odds.
All right, let's talk about the odds. Who do you think... I guess just pick your odds and
Jacob
show the odds and
betting man.
Say who you want to be in it. Jacob is a betting man with his betting writing and
well,
stuff.
The Rams are favored to win the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah, well,
believe it or not, the sports books open with the Rams. Favorites to win the Super Bowl next year. The Patriots actually opened up at number 4. 22-1 favorites to win this year's Super Bowl, which people are going crazy about because they just won the Super Bowl, obviously. Some people expect Gronkowski to retire, so that's the type of things that are going on. The Chiefs are number 3 in this year's Super Bowl way too early predictions, and the Saints rounded out at number 2 with the Chargers coming in at number 5. So those are the teams we have. I would go for the Super Bowl. I think the Patriots are going to be back in the... Patriots versus Chiefs is going to be our same matchup once again, and I think the Chiefs take it this time. So I think we have the Chiefs on that side, and I think we have the Saints on the other side. But the Rams won't make it as far as they did. So I think it will be Saints versus some other team and Patriots versus the Chiefs. The Chiefs win, the Saints win. It will be Chiefs and Saints.
Jackson?
For me?
Jackson's going with the Miami Dolphins, who have the longest odds at 30,000-1.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's insane.
They have very bad odds.
I'm going to go looking at this season, I loved what Patrick Mahomes did. Unfortunately, the Kansas City curse caught up to him as the Patriots took them down. I think that Patrick Mahomes and that team, that young core, has a potential to be a dynasty. So I really want... The Chiefs are going to be in the Super Bowl next year, in my opinion. And they're going to be met in the NFC by...
A deep breath.
I was going to say that, but I'm like, I'm not biased. So.
They're going to get met by a deep breath.
I think it'll be the Rams again. If they keep all their pieces and they really just rally between Goff and McVay and like all that chemistry that they've made and just really learn how to incorporate Todd Gurley better in the offense in playoff time, I think that they'll definitely go back into the Super Bowl. Because they were definitely capable of beating the Saints, regardless of what happened. So.
I really like the Rams, and I think the Rams will be back in the Super Bowl, but just not next year.
Sure.
For my predictions, I think the Saints will make it out of the NFC, and until anybody proves the Patriots wrong, I gotta put them in. We go against them every year, and every year they suck the joy out of us, and they make it back. I'm never voting against them until they give me a reason to. I've learned my lesson. Other breaking news that kind of just came out recently today. Antonio Brown was involved in a domestic dispute.
Oh my goodness gracious.
He was not arrested, but that is, it's him, what's it, hold on. I'm just seeing it right now, so I'm trying to make sure I get my facts right here, because obviously this is a pretty serious topic.
This is a facts-driven show. Innocent until proven guilty, may I point that out?
So, on top of all the drama he has with wanting out of Pittsburgh for the most part, having blow-ups during the season, he's got this domestic dispute, which we don't know a lot about. There's no details yet. But it's a... he's being charged in South Florida, which is where he also has the case against him, because last year he threw furniture out of his apartment and he about hit a 2-year-old boy. So that is... He's got a lot going on, and that just kind of confirms to me that Antonio Brown is the biggest idiot, and I would never want him on my team because he's an absolute cancer. Other breaking news that just came out is John Wall. John Wall had surgery and was going to be out for the rest of this season, but he ruptured his Achilles. He had season-ending surgery on the left heel to repair the injury, and he recently slipped and fell in his home. And the Achilles ruptured, which means he'll be out for an entire year, which would mean he's coming back this time next year. So that's... Just learning that, that's kind of... That really sucks for John Wall, and obviously we feel awful for him. For the Wizards, do you think this is kind of... That accelerates their time to rebuild as a team? Especially with the trade line deadline coming up. Do you think the Wizards should blow it all up now?
Or they can't trade him.
Well, they can't trade John Wall, but they can trade Bradley Beal. They can trade Otto Porter. Do you think it's time for them to blow?
Yes, they will trade both of them.
They have to get draft picks. They have to rebuild.
Yep.
Like they're far from retooling. Like the only way that they could possibly think about retooling is if John Wall and Bradley Beal run their scoring ways.
Here's the issue with the Wizards. Caliber players. Like we talked about before, no one wants John Wall unless there's significant. Makeup for his cap hit that he will have along with him, which would be a big pick for the Wizards to give up, or cap relief or something like that. That's huge for them. So that was a big breaker, but Bradley Beal is easier to deal because of his value, but now they're pretty much stuck with John Wall for the rest of the time. I don't think in 2 years somebody will want him after these injuries, stuff like that on the contract. So I think he'll just play out his time as a Wizard and be gone. It was just too hard earlier to trade him, and now it's going to only be harder.
I mean, John Wall, I don't think, is the piece that they were going to trade. I think you're going to look at people like Bradley Beal.
No, John Wall was being shopped on the trade block.
But I don't think he has a lot of value.
Well, that is exactly
his contract is awful.
That is exactly.
And obviously, they couldn't trade him.
That is exactly what
now.
I just said. He does not have a lot of value, and it just got worse.
I'm not fighting you on that. What I'm saying is, I think it's, if I'm the Wizards, I'm definitely looking to see how much value a Bradley Beal and Otto Porter have right now, because I'm never winning with this core. And now that core won't be together for another year. So I wouldn't wait to blow it up unless they're looking around and they don't get the value those players deserve. I wouldn't undervalue them. I would trade them, but only for the right price.
So far, the Wizards have been really quiet. Other teams have had to take initiative, if believe it or not. They haven't been really active, and their owner came out and said Washington has no plans to break up its three-player core, which is really interesting. But they want Beal and Wall to stay there for the rest of their time. But Porter is the biggest one that people think will go, but Wall and Beal, rumor has it, are staying put.
Porter's a solid 3-and-D wing on a contract that probably overpays him.
Probably.
So,
not probably. It's $27 million goes up.
Okay, yeah. It definitely overpays him. He's definitely a solid player with a role, though.
Bradley Beal?
Otto Porter. Bradley Beal is an all-star.
You know what? That's also what I would think. If that contract was described to me on one player on the Wizards, I would say it would be Bradley Beal. But no, it's Otto Porter.
Otto Porter's got a terrible deal. Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I just don't think the Wizards are ever going to win it with this core. So I just capitalize on it. Speaking of stars that do want to be traded, so we can dig deeper into the NBA, let's talk about Anthony Davis and the Pelicans and the Lakers. Because we've been getting rumored reports of the offers that the Lakers have been giving the Pelicans, and they are offering a lot. A lot.
It would be the biggest trade in NBA history if it went down.
Absolutely insane. Jacob knows more than me about all the details and stuff, so I'll yield to you to give the information about the deal.
So as of now, as of 30 minutes ago, we'll go back to yesterday too, the Magic Johnson, we also call him the Magic, you know, he's a legend. He made contact with Demps, the manager for the Pelicans GM, in back-to-back trade talks, where both sides were involved for the first time in talking to each other, giving back and forth, whereas before the talks have been described as one-sided, just Magic Johnson making trade offers to them and them just kind of just sitting there not doing anything. The Pelicans rumored last rumbling has been to ask for 4 first-round picks. Obviously not consecutive years because of the stipend rule, but they have to do every other year for the Lakers. So here's the most recent trade. They offered Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Michael Beasley, Lance Stephenson, Rajon Rondo, and 2 first-round picks to them for Solomon Hill. They'll take him on because of his big $12.87 million contract that goes up to $13.6 million, I believe, next year for one more season. So that would be a big cap relief for them. And I believe the Lakers should probably try to buy him out or something, but they'll have a big cap hit there. Which I'm interested to see what they do because of next season, them wanting to get another person on top of that. And they are rumored to right now be trying to get Anthony Davis with those, with just that trade. But the Pelicans, rumor has it, have sent back, and they said at the very least they need 4 first-round picks to make this done deal. Do you guys think they should make this trade, the trade I just described? Would you make it? As the Pelicans, or would you wait till the summer?
If I was the Pelicans?
Yes. Would you make it or wait till the summer? Because this is your only big offer you have on the table. Like, your biggest.
I would definitely take this right now. Especially if they do succumb to 4 first-round picks. The Pelicans right now are in a very scary situation due to the fact that Anthony Davis, a generational player, wants to go away from their team. So, with them losing a generational player like AD, they want a huge return. There's no way that someone's going to offer this much to the Pelicans for a trade next year. especially since AD is going to be waiting for free agency. You're either going to lose him in free agency or you have to trade him. So if I'm the Pelicans, I'm taking this and I'm running away because I'm getting Kyle Kuzma. I'm getting a very young core plus two first-round picks.
Okay, but those picks aren't going to be very good.
That's what you got to look at with that. I agree with what the Pelicans are doing. They know AD wants to go to the Lakers, but the ball's in their court.
It is. Well,
not the Lonzo ball. The Lonzo ball is currently in LA's court.
Not.
But we're going to get into that later.
I would
wait if I were the Pelicans. I would wait until the Lakers panic and offer a ton or until I can get offers from other teams.
I would wait up until the deadline and see if they throw down a mega, just like a humongous deal and see if you can take that. But the rumor has it, and I'm just going to throw this out there. I know you guys might think this is a little crazy, but the Pelicans have a notion that the Celtics might throw Jason Tatum in a deal. And I understand.
Boston could sell really high on him.
I understand that he said he doesn't want to play, but things change. If he meets with Kyrie Irving and they figure out they can work together and this might work, that could be something that could change. That's all I'm going to say on that. But I understand for now it's not going to happen. But I understand things change in sports. Kyrie Irving said he wanted to re-sign with the Celtics, and last week he was super shady about it.
Which scared me. Thanks a lot, Kyrie.
Things change as the team progresses and forms and chemistry happens. Players have less confidence in their team's ability to perform, and that changes their minds. So Anthony Davis obviously said this, but after the trade deadline, we got a lot of games before the end of the season. If the Celtics make a run here and get in the playoffs and go big, and he might want to go to Boston. There's a lot of history there. If we're going through some trade deadline stuff.
Before we go through trade deadline stuff, sorry, I don't want to cut you off.
You're not forgiven.
But I do, because I want to talk about the Ball family circus, because I don't know if you've ever heard of LeVar Ball.
Nope.
He's Lonzo Ball's dad.
Spokesperson, agent, coach, everything.
And also, apparently,
the
a
best
mind
basketball
reader
player
and
ever played
whoever
the game.
Created the world, because he can speak things into existence. He went on a bit of a tirade against...
A vacation. Oh.
No, I wish. I wish he would shut his mouth. But no, he went on a bit of a tirade against the Los Angeles Lakers. With Lonzo being floated around in trade rumors for AD, obviously. He went on the Doug and Wolf show.
Oh my gosh.
In Arizona.
This is unbelievable.
He called Luke Walton the worst coach ever.
Yep.
He's blamed him for killing Lonzo's confidence. Luke Walton turned him into a loser is a exact quote from that. He has said the Lakers have given Lonzo a losing attitude. He claimed he makes everyone better. He said you would never have heard of Kyle Kuzma if Lonzo didn't make him in Summer League.
Bet.
He claimed that Lonzo himself has made Josh Hart and Brandon Ingram.
No.
Yeah, that's what it means. You just said okay.
No, you don't get it, Jacob. Shut up.
And then he also said AD is good, but he's not a winner.
Don't shut up. I have free speech in this country.
I'm talking.
I don't care.
2 minutes.
I have free speech in this country.
2 minutes, you.
I don't care what you have to say.
Awesome. We're recording, and I'm trying to do something. I'm trying
to
run the show.
Let me.
Jackson's going to talk. He needs to talk.
LeVar Ball has the audacity, the unmitigated gall. Did you see his tweet?
Unmitigated gall?
Adding to what you said, he has...
Stephen A. Smith with the big words.
He is literally the worst kind of... He tells the Lakers... I would like my son to not go to the Pelicans.
I wish you guys could see the
hand gestures
this man is
making. To go to the Suns. There is no way in hell if the Lakers are going to listen to you, LeVar. LeVar, I want you to listen to this real close. They don't care. I don't care what you say that you're going to bring this into existence because you can't, okay? You got laid perfectly into the Lakers' lap. But that ain't going to happen again if you get traded. Sorry, the NBA is a business, LeVar, and if Lonzo's going to be traded to the Pelicans, he's going to be freaking traded to the Pelicans.
Okay, let's go through five things you had wrong with that. Number one, LeVar Ball does not listen to this podcast. I am almost 100%
as far
sure
as you
that.
Know.
Number two, Lonzo Ball can dictate where he goes. It's a player's league, so if he doesn't want to show up, Same thing has happened with Austin Rivers. He got traded to the Suns. Guess what he did? He just didn't show up.
Okay.
And they bought him out. It's a player's league. The Pelicans aren't going to play Lonzo Ball if Lonzo Ball doesn't want to play with the Pelicans.
Okay, well, that's too bad for Lonzo.
Well, I honestly...
He has to grow up.
From what I'm
hearing...
No,
he doesn't have to grow up. He can just get traded again.
I think Lonzo is actually very mature.
Oh, Lonzo
I don't think it's a Lonzo thing. Like, reports that I've been reading and hearing...
The Pelicans
is that the Pelicans don't want the LeVar circus that comes with it, and I don't blame them. LeVar is killing Lonzo's value in the NBA.
I mean, Phoenix would take anything at this point, so yeah.
Phoenix would take him, yeah. Like, and I think Phoenix would be a good fit. I think New Orleans would be a good fit from a player standpoint. I think he'd be a good fit next to Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday can play shooting guard.
They'd be a defensive. They'd definitely be a defensive force.
They'd be very good.
They'd be really
good. Build on top of that, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Jahlil Okafor has been looking up. Those they can afford a max.
And they have Julius Randle.
They'd be getting rid of they'd
so
be getting
their
rid of
starting
Solomon
lineup Hill. Would be Lonzo.
So they'd literally be the Lakers.
Lonzo, Drew Holiday, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and possibly Julius Randle or Jahlil Okafor.
I just realized that. They'd have four young Lakers on that team.
And, well, Julius Randle used to be a Laker.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm looking at it and I'm just realizing that they'd be the Lakers 2.0.
Or like the Lakers 2 years ago, except better. Or 1 year ago, except better.
Honestly, like, that isn't a bad team. It's just the LeVar's killed all value.
I could see that team making the playoffs, if I'm being honest with you. I could see that team making
the playoffs. As an 8 seed, maybe.
Sir.
Not right now.
Excuse me?
That's not controversial. Come on.
The Pelicans?
If they had
do
that
you think
team,
the Pelicans with
Julius
a starting
really
five
good.
Of
and
Lonzo, Drew Holiday, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and Julius Randle would
oh, wait, and they still have
if
Nikola Mirotic.
If Anthony Davis could only bring the Pelicans to an 8 seed,
Anthony Davis was working.
I don't say this year. I mean, like, maybe next year.
Oh,
or
next
year?
Oh, for sure.
I think they would.
I'm not saying this year. I thought you were going to talk about
this year. I don't think they would.
Okay.
Jackson, here's the argument I will make. I think New Orleans will be in a better place a year ago when Anthony Davis would play there if they made that trade. And they got four first-round picks and those players.
The Pelicans would be?
The Pelicans
would
be
in
a better place.
They would definitely be in a better place.
And I think that they would be a better team.
Mm-hmm.
My argument would be the Pelicans would get better as a basketball team by trading a top-five player in the NBA.
See, the problem
because
with
Because I
Pelicans,
think every single area would increase so much
I
because
really,
their issue is their depth.
I really agree with that because Anthony Davis was the player that was supposed to bring other people in. Like that when you have a generational player like him, you want to bring players. That's how they brought Boogie in. That's how Boogie wanted to come because that Anthony Davis was there. But once the Boogie experiment didn't work, they tried to go out, but no one else wanted to come to the Pelicans.
Worked. He just got injured.
Right.
Yeah. It was working very well at one point.
It was, and it was very disappointing. But regardless, the Pelicans' plan just didn't really work out the way that they wanted to, I think. Just with Anthony not being able to get that. Because wasn't Kyrie rumored to go there just for a little bit?
The Pelicans?
Yeah.
I don't think
with Anthony?
So.
No.
There's
not
never
cool.
been a big, like,
but like,
huge star that was.
Well, anyway, yeah. My point exactly. Like, I think that the Pelicans right now need to trade high right now. And if they. I say go for it. If they. I would say you have to trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers before the trade deadline to get the best value out of Anthony.
The report right now, just for us to know, from Fletcher Mackel, who is a reporter in the New Orleans area, he is saying that the Pelicans actually really like Lonzo Ball and think he and Drew would be a good backcourt together, but he is being told that LeVar has wrecked any chance of Lonzo being part of a deal with New Orleans, which would
really?
Mean Lonzo might not even move because LeVar has killed all value for him.
I hate that he does that.
He might not even get to Phoenix because he might not be able to leave LA.
Okay.
Gosh.
LeVar, I think you need Stephen A. Smith to.
No, they already had
that
issue.
No,
do you think
it needs to happen again?
LeVar
doesn't know how to shut his
mouth. LeVar Ball wants to be talked about, and he understands how media works in today's day and age, and he's able to get their brand out, especially in that, and he thinks he has a wide range of influence because of that. But the thing was, the more we talk about him, the more he gets attention, and the more his brand gets attention, and stuff gets attention. I think, like you said, I don't think Lonzo is anything like his dad.
Do you see the big baller brand water? that just came out?
Oh my gosh. Listen, I will no longer... Okay, this is the last time I'm going to say this. I'm going to come up with Paul Logan here.
Ooh.
LeVar Ball. That name will not come out of my mouth only to the extent of Lonzo Ball's dad.
Lonzo Ball.
So what's you his can name? Call him like LiAngelo Ball's
it's Lonzo
dad?
It's Lonzo Ball's dad. We're talking about Lonzo
LaMelo
Ball's dad.
LaMelo Ball's dad?
No, only Lonzo's.
Because they have to make the NBA first before they get
the
respect.
Before they get
the Ball brothers' dad. Their father.
I love their mom, by the way.
Let's move on.
I did watch,
oh,
I
their
watched
mom is
Ball
sweet.
In the family. Their mother is a sweet lady.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she has to have the strength and
the most patience,
of an
yeah.
angel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. But then again, I'm not married to LeVar Ball, so.
Are you sure?
Last time I checked, I'm pretty sure we weren't married. I'd hope not. If we were, and immediately ask for a divorce.
okay.
Real no. fast, before I want to move on and talk about other NBA stuff with like trade deadline and things like that, do you think Luke Walton is the coach for this Lakers team, or do you think he's going to get fired?
He will get fired.
I think they're going to move in a different direction.
Because I think they're going to move in a different direction, too.
Yeah.
Probably not during the year, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I think
for sure.
They'll wait till the offseason, mm-hmm. but I think Luke Walton is going to get fired, which is a shame, because I think he's a good coach. I just don't think he was a good coach for L.A. Jacob, you can do your trade deadline thing now. Sorry.
Okay. Most recent reports we have, we're 2 days out from the trade deadline at about this time, in about 43 minutes. 2 days and 43 minutes, we will have the trade deadline, the point where it ends, and we will not have any more trades. So here's some rumors that we have. And offers, actually. So Mike Conley and Marc Gasol were made available by the Memphis Grizzlies. We talked a little bit about that. But since then, there's been some offers that have been made. The two teams that are most prevalent are Utah and Detroit. Teams that are looking for an extra bounce at point guard for a playoff push, to push up from that middle range in their conferences to the higher top four, is their goal. The Jazz made an offer involving Ricky Rubio in a 2019 first-round pick for Conley. Detroit, on the other hand, has made the offer of Reggie Jackson and a first-round pick for Mike Conley. Jackson, which one of those would you take? Ricky Rubio in a 2019 first-round pick or Reggie Jackson in a 2019 first-round pick?
I think Ricky Rubio.
So, yes, and why I think that? Here's why I think that. Because Ricky Rubio is the easiest one to get rid of, and I believe the Grizzlies want to start through the draft and free agency this offseason, so they want to have a lot of cap space.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with Reggie Jackson is he's owed $18 million, and then next year he has a contract on him for another $18 million, which is
Ricky
a lot
Rubio's
of cap space.
Ricky Rubio's on a 1 year.
And Ricky Rubio's on a 1 year, which they could get rid of faster. So I think the thing is they could get off. And another thing... that I also have. The Grizzlies are also active in shopping Mike Conley the other way, where they're making the offers. And rumor has it Otto Porter Jr. is someone they're looking at with Mike Conley.
Really?
But the Wizards, because of Wall being out, and the Wizards, although they aren't confident that Wall, Beal, and Bradley Beal and John Wall could play together. I mean, it's worth taking a look at. And also, they're looking at Nikola Mirotic for a possible trade with them.
Mirotic? What?
They want Mirotic to be the 4 and Jaren Jackson to be the 5.
Wow, that's interesting.
That's
kind of good. I kind of like that.
And the Jazz will like J. Michael Green also. They're interested in him.
J. Michael Green's a solid.
And they're
going to
trade Derek Favors for him. As reported at 9:22 a.m.
Really?
Wow.
I would not have thought that would be the deal, but...
that is the deal. I would just like to point out something, too, about the Milwaukee Bucks. Anthony Davis came out with a list of 4 teams. The Milwaukee Bucks were on there. I believe it's Bucks, Knicks...
Bucks,
Lakers.
Knicks, Lakers, Clippers?
Clippers, correct. Okay. I do not think the Clippers or Bucks will be involved in those trade discussions. But I think I just like to give a huge shout out to John Horst, the GM of the Milwaukee Bucks and the organization. They've had many years of bad management, coaching, deficient teams. I'd say it's a big, huge kudos to them that they're even on a list for a star like that. And I'd say watch out for them in a couple, not even a couple years, just these coming years. for extra stars to come. Who wouldn't want to play with the player like Giannis? Also, more rumors. I know we talked about DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews. They made their Knicks debuts. Looked a little weird, honestly. It's New York Knicks. They were all right in their first game. I don't really have a huge judgment on them. DeAndre Jordan wore number 6, Kristaps Porzingis jersey. However, the rumors are that there's buyout, like we talked about before. I do not know what will happen with that, but I think that Wesley Matthews at the least will get bought out. But they're going for Kevin Durant, so I think we see moves from them to shed as much cap space as possible, and that's why they made the Porzingis trade. That wraps out a bunch of the huge buzz that we've had recently. Obviously, there's a couple other trade rumors that haven't gotten as motivated or in the front of the media yet. But I would say you need to watch out. Turn on those notifications these next couple days.
Notifications on for Woj.
Yes.
Get some Woj bombs in your life.
Woj bombs in your life. I'm going to be honest with you. I expect tomorrow and the next day to be big trade days.
I mean, I know we all expect a couple of Woj bombs.
Anthony
Davis
Thursday will
go
wear
more.
A new jersey.
Ooh. I think they're going to wait. But you're right. We will do a show on Thursday in which we discuss all the deals that have gone down. So I'm very excited.
I've got one more thing I want to do. Logan, who do you think is a better player, LeBron James or Giannis?
I mean, I'm not going to fight against LeBron.
Okay. Logan will be picking for LeBron, and Jackson will pick for Giannis.
Oh gosh. Golly,
you will be picking the All-Star teams.
We are?
Rumor has it LeBron James may pick Kyrie Irving with his first pick,
actually,
which will be crazy.
I'm boycotting the All-Star game because Luka Doncic isn't in it.
Luka Doncic can be your bench coach.
Awesome.
So, if you want to pull up those starters right now.
Looking them up right now.
Here we go. And LeBron, as the leading vote getter, gets the first pick in the NBA All-Star Draft.
Okay.
You can also keep track of your teams if you want.
I'd like that, yes. I will pick, with being LeBron James, who is super cool. Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I don't think that's as hard of a pick as maybe.
There's a lot of people I like. It was hard for me, sorry. Kevin Durant.
What's hard for you? Interesting. Yeah, that's a great pick. So Kevin Durant's off the board. Jackson. With the second pick. And you don't get back-to-back picks, by the way.
Okay.
I think that's what it used to be, but I don't think it is anymore, if I'm right. But you get one pick.
With me being Giannis, I want a guy who can take the ball and shoot.
I know who you can.
So
I'm going with Steph Curry.
Oh,
as
awesome.
My pick.
Awesome. That makes it easy for me. I'll go with James Harden.
Are you kidding me?
I'll go with James Harden.
No. Nah. You kidding? Shut your mouth.
Team Giannis fail. All right, Logan picks Team Harden with the first pick of the second round, and we go back to Giannis.
I'm going to get Kawhi Leonard, lock down that perimeter and post defense. I like that. I like what he's shaking. So we'll see what happens there.
I will go. Kyrie. Team LeBron.
Sorry, who did
Kyrie
you go
Irving.
With?
He went with Kyrie.
He did?
Yeah.
Well, who did you go with?
I went with...
He went with Kawhi.
Kyrie
Irving.
Now
it's my turn. All right. Since I have two forwards and a guard, I'm going to go snag a center.
Oh, wait. I apologize. We messed this up.
What?
Jackson's actually supposed to have two picks in a row.
What?
Yes.
Jackson's,
so Logan picks Kevin Durant.
Well, we've already started.
And Jackson picks Steph Curry. Jackson, you get another pick after that.
Yeah.
We already started.
Jackson gets the first pick.
We picked half the team.
No, Jackson.
It's not fair.
You're up, Jackson. You get the first
this
pick in the second
stupid.
Round.
This is stupid.
Yay.
And then Logan gets two picks in a row.
We're going back.
Basically. Jackson, pick your player.
I'll take Kawhi.
He takes Kawhi. So you guys are going to get like the same teams. Logan gets two picks in a row.
I guess I'm picking Harden and... It's only fair if I go get Harden and Kyrie. Okay, I'm getting Harden and Kyrie.
Okay.
It worked out the same way, but that was stupid.
All right, you're up, Jackson. You got two picks.
Oh,
Logan
man.
Finishes it off because he got the first pick.
All right. So this is finishing up my starters. I have two forwards. I need a shooting guard. And all right, I'm going to pick...
Kyle Lowry. Oh, wait,
no.
He's not a starter. Is he an all-star? Oh, yeah, he is. Wow.
I'm gonna pick. I'm gonna pick Joel Embiid, and I'm going to pick. Not many options for.
Well, there's not many options because you only have two options.
There's one center, yeah.
Yeah, you only have two options left, Jackson.
Wait a minute. What? So I have Paul George,
or
Kemba Walker. That's my shooting guard. Who do you have to get?
He's getting whoever you don't get.
I think he doesn't want... He wants a forward. He wants Paul George.
Cool. They don't go through the All-Star to predicting who the other person wants.
But I think I want... I don't
just
like
take Kemba,
Kemba
or Paul. Just take Kemba Walker or Paul George.
I'll take George. I'll take George.
You suck! I like Kemba Walker, but my team is small.
Okay, well, we won't go through the reserves just because I wanted to see what you guys thought.
What?
Of the starters.
Okay, fine.
Straight up.
But I really wanted Dirk.
Yeah, you could have drafted Dirk with the first pick. So, Logan's team, I assume that you will have... Who runs the point on Logan's team here?
Kyrie, Kemba, Harden, Durant, and LeBron plays small ball five.
Okay, Jackson?
Anybody can take the ball up. Anybody can share. It's unselfish.
My starting lineup would be point guard, Steph Curry, of course. For my center position, I would be Joel Embiid. Power forward, Giannis. Small forward, Kawhi. My shooting guard would be Paul George.
I think Jackson has the better team.
I also think Jackson has the better team because he has actual big men. I have two dudes who flex down.
A lot of defense.
The minute you took Paul George, I was like,
I
wanted Joel Embiid, and I thought about switching, but I didn't want to change the teams, because you know how I felt about that.
No, it's all good.
All right, speaking of James Harden, did you see the thing Kobe just said about him?
Yeah. Like, he won't
win. That he can't
win
with that style of play.
He won't win championships.
Well, Harden said he's probably right. What do you guys think about that? Do you think James Harden can get the Rockets a championship with his style of play?
He's not LeBron James.
Okay,
so
thank you. That was a very obvious thing to say.
He will not. LeBron James, like, okay, I only use LeBron James as an example because he's shown that he can bring a team to the championship and succeed with that.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden is a shooting guard who doesn't pass the ball, who tries to force things to happen. With LeBron James, he has an element of passing in his game. He's also in a position, small forward, where he can control the game. He's a big guy, but he's also has the handles and the three-pointer to hold himself against guards. So I think that James won't be able to go against centers the way that LeBron does. And quite frankly, James doesn't share the ball enough to have the efficiency as a team. Which
James
is this-
Harden is... fourth in the league in assists with 8.
Really?
Which I'd like to point out is
Kobe's not
higher than LeBron is.
Kobe's not saying anything about his
I'm just
Kobe
saying.
Mentioned it. He's not talking about his statistical things.
He's
Kobe's
talking about his style.
Play style.
Like right now. Right now with him shooting at the ball.
I don't think it's him shooting at the ball.
My answer is no.
Jackson,
I agree with
you. You're talking
Kobe.
About all clear things he does on the court, which James Harden is actually a very good player on the court. Kobe's talking about how he plays when he's on the court. He doesn't think that James Harden will be a contributor on a championship team because
he's talking about
Harden can play on a team where they are going to be able to reach that level, is what he's saying.
What he's saying is he doesn't think the Rockets are going to win an NBA championship if Harden is playing in the style with scoring the way he is. And James Harden's response to that was, he's probably right, but injuries forced him to have to play this way. And I'm not going to fight him on that. He's right. Injuries did force him to have to play this way. But anyway, I guess the question I want to ask is, by the end of his career, do you think James Harden will have a title? He's 29 now. Do you think in 10 years when he's 39 and getting his send-off, we'll be saying NBA champion James Harden or yes. really good player?
James Harden will not win a championship with the Houston Rockets. If he goes somewhere else and is a role player late in his career, he may win a championship.
I think that James Harden will win on the Rockets.
All right. Then I guess my last NBA
is
Every year there's always snubs for the All-Star game. I just pick one. Who do you think your biggest All-Star game snub is?
Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose is not an All-Star game snub.
Yes, he is.
He definitely He's a guy is. We either like to see in there, but he's not a snub.
I think he's a snub.
Jackson, I'm surprised. I'm very surprised that you said that because I think a certain player that you love a lot is out of the race. A player by the name of Jimmy Butler.
When did
I'm
I say
happy
I love?
When
did you say
it,
I love?
Or not being in it?
I know what Logan will say, Luka Doncic, but
I was
not
going to
say
that
say.
Just for parody.
Also, by the way, Luka Doncic, Rudy Gobert, and D'Angelo Russell all went up in all their ratings in NBA 2K19, so I think they still get a benefit there. Okay. Rudy Gobert, Luka Doncic, and D'Angelo Russell, like I just mentioned, are all
D'Angelo
snubs.
Russell is in the All-Star game.
But Louis, which
he was
I
not
was
voted
about
in,
to mention,
flexed in
D'Angelo
injury.
Russell has been put in by Adam Silver as the replacement in the All-Star game for, who did he replace?
It doesn't matter.
Someone was injured. He replaced him in the All-Star game. So our biggest snubs this year... Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell has been mentioned, Jimmy Butler, Luka Doncic. I don't think Derrick Rose was in there. Tobias Harris, Damian Lillard, DeMar DeRozan.
Damian Lillard's in. Damian Lillard's in the All-Star game.
Oh, I'm talking about 2K ratings, but...
Come on, son.
We're talking about All-Star game stubs. Tobias Harris...
You've named all the names.
Devin Booker.
I can't name... None of us can name one now because you've named all the names.
So,
Booker's
these are
in
some
it.
Players that
you know
we should be aware of that were snubbed. But I think the biggest...
Rudy Gobert, yeah.
The biggest ones are Gobert. I'd say Tobias Harris doesn't get a lot of recognition for what he does. I would put Jimmy Butler way lower than people are saying in snub rankings. Luka Doncic deserves it over him. Rudy Gobert deserves it probably the most. I'd say Tobias Harris also deserves
it. Here's a question for you. Rudy Gobert, after hearing that he did not make the All-Star game, started crying that he did not make it. Do you think that was the right decision on his part?
I don't think he decided to cry.
Well, I don't know. Like, do you think that was mature
for him?
Guys,
I'm going to cry right here.
I think it shows that he cares.
Okay.
And I like that. Okay. It means a lot to him to be recognized as the best. Like, it does for all great players. Like, all great players want to prove that they're great. And it feels like a shot when that doesn't prove that. And I don't think Rudy Gobert was crying in a woe is me kind of way. I think he showed that he cared about it and that he really wanted it. And I expect him to work incredibly hard to prove that he deserves to be in that conversation next year.
Well said.
I mean, there's not any other snubs we can name because Masick decided to go name them all. So let's do
Excuse
our...
Excuse me, I was naming them all for informational purposes. You can choose which one you think is the biggest snub.
Obviously, my heart says Luka, but with my head, I'm going to go say... Actually, did you say Andre Drummond? I'm just going to say Andre Drummond, because Andre Drummond's averaging a double-double with 17 points.
Andre Drummond should be an
all-star.
I would actually put him over Gobert, and I know that's a little controversial. I know Gobert plays great defense, but I'm going to be honest with you. Andre Drummond is playing pretty darn good defense this year, and that man is grabbing boards like... I don't even know what he's grabbing boards. Like, this man is a monster.
Rudy Gobert does average more assists.
Cool.
I just wanted to throw that out there. So let's get to our...
to Donovan Mitchell. That's what he does.
Let's get to, I believe, our last sports-specific segment, which is I want to go back to football, and I want to talk to you guys about the NFL awards. Why are you playing music?
Shut up. Getting hyped in here.
Literally. No. Go to NFL Awards.
Whoa, hold up. Right before we go into NFL awards, news just coming out from the Los Angeles Times that the Lakers have pulled out of Anthony Davis trade talks because the outrageous requests by the Pelicans.
Really?
Yep. Well, the Pelicans wanted 6 to 8 draft picks, apparently, and the Lakers are never going to give them 4 first-rounders and then the additional second-rounders.
Good for them. Good for the Pelicans.
However, the Lakers had agreed to send their entire young core, which would have been Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and Ivica Zubac to the Pelicans, along with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, with first 2-round picks. That had been agreed on, along with the Lakers making changes to obviously include veterans like Rajon Rondo, Beasley, and Stevenson, but the Pelicans just kept wanting more and more, apparently, which I'm fine with, but just so we all have that, apparently that whole conversation we had doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, NBA, or NBA, NFL awards. We saw them. I don't think there's a lot of controversy with them. I believe we agree with all of them. We had done those picks, but let's turn it on its head a little bit. I want to do the NFL opposite awards, where we recognize the players that really don't deserve to get recognized for what they've done this year. We've got categories such as...
Don't worry, you're in the NFL. You are going to be appreciated. Treat yourself.
You just killed it. Like, I don't know what you just did.
Sir.
Anyway, we've got categories such as least valuable player, the player, or I should say, the player that made the most negative impact upon his team this year. Most disappointing offensive and defensive players, most disappointing in offensive and defensive rookies, the worst coach in the NFL, the worst play, and then if we want, we can just do the NFL's worst man of the year, where we recognize the most trash person. My nominee would be Reuben Foster from the Washington football team.
That is a little inappropriate.
Fine, we won't do that one. But let's do that.
No, we can do that one. We just don't refer to someone as trash. I think we can always understand that.
Fine, garbage can human beings.
Human beings that have made mistakes things. And had a darn bad 2018 as a person.
Reuben Foster had more than a darn bad 2018. He's had a darn bad... I'm mad. I can't articulate that correctly. So let's get, before I get mad, we'll build up to our most disappointing player of overall, our opposite MVP. Let's start with the worst play of the year. Do you guys have any nominees for that? Or do you want me to go first?
You can go first. Give us an example.
All right. So mine might be a little controversial, but my worst play of the year was voted best play of the year. I am nominating the Miami Miracle for worst play of the year. Because not only was it a shambolic performance on the Patriots side, the Dolphins got lucky. The Dolphins got so lucky. Like, at least with the Minneapolis Miracle, you've got the element that Stephon Diggs used an incredible amount of skill to make the catch. There was still good coverage. It was a great throw by Case Keenum. But this was just a lucky play, and we're worshiping it. Like, it got trademarked, they're making shirts out of it, and at the end of the day, it was inconsequential. So, yes, I disagree with it being named best play, but it's getting on my nerves. So, it got worst play for me.
All right. For me, the worst play of the year is not necessarily a play. It's just the thought of starting Cody Kessler as the Jaguars starting quarterback.
So
they did.
Yeah, that's the worst play of the year.
Why do you think Blake Bortles is a freaking NFL quarterback?
Why do you think that Cody Kessler is a starting caliber quarterback?
Okay, here's what I'm gonna do.
Okay.
I will not mention the worst quarterback in the NFL's name ever again. He does not deserve it. He is not a quarterback. He's the worst mistake Jacksonville has ever made in the history of the organization. Giving that man that contract was the worst mistake that organization has ever given. He's a trash bucket. He's a garbage man.
He's
a good guy.
Like, he's a good guy. So why are you boycotting him?
Excuse me. I said as a football player.
Okay, but you're not going to say his name?
No. He doesn't deserve it. He has to. People I respect and say their name are people that either I don't have an opinion on, or I believe that they are deserving of the fact that their name should be mentioned in the mainstream media. Blake Bortles' name should not be anywhere.
Okay, that's a dumb way to do that. That's just
and the fact that he said the thought of starting him, because they already started him, so that's just a dumb thing to say.
It was a nice little cop-out answer, because he couldn't think of one. Jacob, do you have a nominee?
Jeez. I would like to nominate this season. And I'd like to nominate all those moments of the NFL referees and the NFL in our new Roughing the Passer.
So you're basically nominating any play Clay Matthews got flagged on. All right.
That would be the main thing. But I'm nominating the play, most of all, the worst play of the NFL season. Obviously, the Saints versus Rams was the epitome of this season's terrible call, no call. What I want to see in the NFL is consistency. And I want to see a basis for every game, the players knowing what is good and what is not. And that is a very hard thing to do. But I think this year's rules, especially with the roughing the passer, I think it takes a long time to adjust the league. But making those rules so quickly was a big change for the players and created a lot of bad moments for the NFL this year. I'd say they need to evaluate and educate is their main things for this upcoming season. And make it so these players know what's going to be called and what's not going to. And honestly, their tackling technique is not terrible. Okay? If this is what they're going to talk about, their tackling technique is not terrible. And if they're going to lead with the shoulder, they can lead with the shoulder. The NFL needs to clarify this. I'm nominating all of the plays on the new NFL rules. Roughing the passer this year was awful. I mean, Kevin Hart went on a show and literally showed us how to do it. You have to pick up the quarterback and lay him down on a pillow, wrap him up in his blanket, and just set him down. That's the only way not to get a penalty. I'm nominating roughing the passer if it fails.
Oh, okay. That was a lot.
It was!
Okay. Let's transition to most disappointing rookies. We'll start on the defensive side of the ball. We'll go back in reverse order. So, Jacob, you can go first. Who was your most disappointing defensive rookie this year?
Defensive rookie?
Rookie on the defensive side of the ball. Who was the most disappointing? Who was opposite Darius Leonard?
Darius Leonard was terrible this year. Joking. Darius Leonard was amazing this year. Let's just talk about Darius Leonard.
No, let's talk about opposite Darius Leonard. Who was the worst defensive player drafted this year? Are you stalling?
No. I'm gonna go with... I would go with someone who is highly touted, but I think, honestly, at this point, we can't... You just see this season like that in terms of potential or anything?
Oh, yeah. Like, these players, like, all rookies, I think, still have a level of potential. But some of them disappointed. Not a lot of them did, I will say, on the defensive side of the ball. Really in the first round. But
I think the first round, why this is hard for me is because the first round of this year's draft was so done by the teams from what I see. But the most disappointing defensive rookie for me for this season was Terrell Edmonds. Oh, not Terrell Evans, sorry, not Terrell Evans. Rashawn Evans from Tennessee, drafted 22nd. He's the only player I can go through this list and say on the defensive side didn't make some type of impact that was positive. I just really don't think he really showed out there for the Titans. Obviously, the Titans had a semi-impressive, unimpressive year. But for me, he didn't have an entirely bad season, but if I'm looking at the rookies on this list here, especially in the first round, he had the worst year out of all of them, but I don't want to judge anybody this year, so I'm going to pass up this selection.
I'm sorry, what? So you're not picking?
I am not making this selection because I don't believe there's a player that was drafted in this year's draft that deserves that.
Well, I think you're wrong, but...
Oh, well, you can say whatever you want.
You can make the case for Rashawn Evans. I will...
It's the only player mentioning, but I'm not selecting anybody.
Okay. I mean... I guess if Jackson wants to, I don't know. Rashawn Evans came on slow. He started out slow, but he definitely got involved, especially as a good run defender later in the year. Jackson, do you have anybody to mention?
Like, for me, I'm gonna probably shy away from like the worst one. I'm gonna go with the most disappointing to me.
Well, that's what the award's for.
Oh, for real? Okay.
Yeah.
Then for me, I'm gonna go with
Josh Rosen.
Okay, sir.
You know he won't do that.
Roquan Smith from the Chicago Bears.
Oh, excuse me.
Just the most disappointing.
Are you serious?
He started out really hot.
Roquan Smith was good.
He started out hot. He recorded like double-digit tackles in four of his first six games. However, he really kind of slowed up from there.
I see you with the statistics.
Yeah, thank you.
There you go, Jackson.
And so I appreciate like how he started. But if I'm looking at all like the nominees for NFL Defensive Player of the Year, I'm thinking of all the players that could have had a good impact on their team. And Roquan Smith, though he started out hot, he didn't sustain that. And I see that with everyone else that was nominated for that. So I'm going to go with Roquan Smith as the most disappointing player. Not necessarily the worst rookie, just the most disappointing.
All right. I see that. That's all good. I'm going with Vita Vea.
Oh, yes.
And before I go with Vita Vea, I would like to wish Vita Vea a happy birthday.
On his birthday?
And then season.
Ahem. Happy birthday.
No. Logan, keep
to
on.
You. You. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
I feel like I'm going to be like murdered in my sleep tonight.
Why are you whispering?
I'm doing an ASMR commercial from the Super Bowl.
No.
No, stop. Okay, stop.
Stop.
Stop, you're making me uncomfortable.
This is...
Stop!
This is not what our...
Vita.
Stop. I will
stop.
I will stop the recording right
anyway,
now.
Anyway.
This is my ASMR recording.
No!
Vita Vea had a rough
happy
year.
Birthday to you.
Yes, happy
May
birthday,
May you have
Vita
many
Vea.
More sacks and run defenses.
Can I talk? Can I say words?
Skirt, skirt.
Vita Vea.
Happy birthday.
Vita Vea missed the first couple of games of the year with an injury. He only ended up starting 8 games. In those 8 games, or 13 that he played, 8 in total, he did have 3 sacks, 4 tackles for loss, and I believe, 28 tackles combined, which aren't bad stats for a rookie.
No.
But it's definitely, you expect more from a player who was drafted, I believe, at 13, or 12. He was drafted at 12. So, just in general, you expect more from a player drafted that high. I'm not saying Vita Vea had a bad year. I'm saying that it was disappointing based on where he was drafted, and we expect more. However, he is a player that I think has a lot of potential, especially as a run defender, as I believe the Buccaneers will start to transfer their defensive scheme, and I think Vea plays a big role in that. He's a big guy, and he's going to be big for them for the next couple of years, I think. So I win that one. I'm going to just say I win that one. Let's go to the offensive side of the ball. And I'll start.
I think I win that one.
And I'll start.
For not picking.
Yeah, can I kick you out? Am I allowed to do that? I want to kick you out. Anyway, will stick with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I will nominate Ronald Jones II. For most disappointing offensive rookie this year.
Ooh,
that's interesting.
Ronald Jones was drafted high second round. He had a lot of potential coming out. Early in the year, stop talking. I'm trying
Sorry.
To share.
It
I feel
was
like
him.
I feel like a freaking first
okay,
grade
it was
teacher.
Time out. It was not me that.
I don't care. Be quiet. Let me make points.
Guys,
and I'll be quiet and
you
let you make
him?
Points.
You need to be quiet.
You guys are children. This is... Oh, anyway.
Jackson.
Shut up, Jacob.
Jackson.
Shut up.
Be quiet.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Okay, go, Jake. Go, Logan.
Ronald Jones.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You said he was bad this year, early second round.
He was an early second round pick. Had a lot of potential coming out. Was well regarded. People thought he was going to get involved for Tampa Bay, especially because they didn't have a dominant running back. Wasn't able to crack the lineup. Had issues with blocking. Had issues running the ball. His season stats, he ended up playing in 9 games. 23 carries for 44 yards. That's less than 2 yards a carry. 1 touchdown. And only caught 7 passes this year. That is incredibly disappointing for a second-round pick that was expected to play a large role in that offense. Ronald Jones, in my opinion, is easily the most disappointing rookie.
All right, my turn. I just want to say before, I have complete and utter respect for this man. I had lots of faith in him.
Uh-oh.
However, I have to give credit where credit is due.
Or I regardless guess opposite of credit, like opposite bad credit where credit is due.
Josh Rosen.
No.
Was, in fact, in my opinion, the most disappointing offensive player, in my opinion.
Say it ain't so, Jackson.
No, it is so. With 2,000 yards.
Still a good cuddler.
11 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, and a QBR rating of 25.9. Josh Rosen. I had lots of high hopes for him. He came out of the draft looking fresh, looking clean. Being paired up with Larry Fitzgerald, I thought that that would be an awesome duo. However, I was proven wrong. He had a few good games, but not enough for me to say that he wasn't the most to like the standards I was putting at him at. So, Josh Rosen, I still like you, man. I really look forward to seeing how you do in the future. However, 25.9 QBR rating is not going to get you far in this league. So, I look forward to seeing you progress. But you are, in fact, the most disappointing part of the NFL season for me.
Wow, I actually got like a little sad, like genuinely. I could see the hurt in your eyes.
I was genuinely happy.
Okay, awesome. We know because you ruin every good thing in the world.
I do not ruin every good thing in the world, and I think that is a very mean thing to say.
You've
been coming up with a lot of mean things to say about people being trash. I don't judge people like that.
I'm so mad at you right now. I'm genuinely mad.
We should do a roast sesh between you guys, like one of these episodes. Just like to get
all
the stuff off your guys' chest.
Okay, he seems to like
it. Okay, I'm in because I'm undefeated.
Here's the most disappointing player, and why I think this over Josh Rosen.
Oh, that's really impressive.
Why I think this over Josh Rosen. I would say Josh Rosen is the third most disappointing player. Wow. The first most disappointing player is our third pick of the NFL draft.
No.
With high expectations coming in.
No.
From the New York Jets, Sam Darnold.
Okay.
No.
They had a good year last year. The year with Josh McCown was not a bad year, okay? So you can't tell me he was coming into a completely unstable organization. Robbie Anderson is not a bad wide receiver.
Doesn't matter.
Can you be quiet? Sam Darnold had a terrible season. I understand. Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry, is this frustrating for you?
17 touchdowns, 15 interceptions for Darnold. A season that you think would be all right on things, but Sam Darnold single-handedly lost games. Sam Darnold single-handedly lost games for this team. He did not get a great completion percentage, and he actually got a receiving touchdown, believe it or not. Or he rushed for a touchdown, sorry. But... believe it or not, Sam Darnold single-handedly lost games by throwing for 3 or 4 interceptions in multiple games in big moments when his team needed him. Sam Darnold consistently put his team under, and a leader and a quarterback on a team, he did not take ownership in that locker room, and he lost it. And frankly, I think Josh Rosen, reports aren't like they were in the NFL draft. And that's why I put Sam Darnold, since he was a higher pick. And I think Josh Rosen in that locker room at least has some role now that's better than Sam Darnold. Because Larry Fitzgerald has come out multiple times and said the draft stock on him is incorrect, and he's now taking a more bigger leadership role in the locker room. I believe Sam Darnold had the most negative impact this year. Josh Allen did way better this year than Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold is your most disappointing offensive player of this season. Hands down, Ronald Jones is way better than him. This season, the only issue Ronald Jones had this year, your face. Ronald Jones had this year was with blocking, which was said multiple times throughout the season by the Buccaneers themselves. He's a great runner.
He had less than 2 yards
doesn't
a carry.
Doesn't matter. He's a great runner. He got injured. He's a great runner. Okay?
I'm going to do my 10 push-ups. You're talking out of your ass.
Okay. Ronald Jones did a great job. Ronald Jones did a great job running the football. And why I say this is not only because of the yards average, because of the team he was on, and he had great runs on with that terrible offensive line.
That's not an excuse, though.
Sam Darnold, last four games of the regular season, had the best QBR in football.
Cool. It's a whole season. It's a whole season.
Yeah, you're right. It is a whole season. But...
So, Ronald Jones only played 9 games this season.
He showed...
You consider evaluating him on half of a season, number one. He gets 23 rushes.
23. Only behind, managed to get 23.
Behind Peyton Barber, who was the established starter.
He wasn't supposed to be
so
behind.
So, we're
going to
take
Barber.
A guy for not getting on the field and say he's most disappointed. That's...
Well, he couldn't get on the field for the 9 games
you're
he was healthy
me.
For.
You're beyond me.
He couldn't
nine,
get on
so
the field
gonna
for the
we're
going to
evaluate a player on
9 for.
Games, first of all. We're going to evaluate a player on a limited capacity. That's half a year.
That's half...
I'm not saying that he
season.
Can't recover. I'm
it's
saying it was
season.
Disappointing.
And actually, yards, he was actually more efficient catching with 4.7 yards.
On 5!
In his game, on, and then he got 23 rushes for 44 yards. 23 rushes in a season. And multiple times I have here in... player news on him, the coach saying he's the backup. Well, then he's not going to get a lot of carries. What do you expect?
He was not supposed to be the backup.
Yes, he was. Peyton Barber was the established starter. It literally says, the coach said here, Peyton Barber is a starter.
When did he say that?
He literally said it. It's the first, before the season. It's preseason. It says Peyton Barber
is exactly. He was drafted, expected to be the impact running back in that backfield.
Oh my gosh.
He couldn't become
that. So he gets
that.
Injured, plays 9 games, and we're going to say it's his fault.
I'm saying...
Wonderful.
I'm not saying...
He's the worst. Yeah, he's the worst player. I agree with you, definitely. Let's go with what you said.
I don't think you're right with Darnold. Clearly, I don't think you're right with Darnold. I think you're putting too much value in turnover rate, and you're not giving enough responsibility for the misfortune to the Jets to the rest of his team. His offensive line was awful. If your best receiver is Robbie Anderson, your weapons aren't good enough. And that's nothing against Robbie Anderson.
Same thing with Josh Rosen.
He didn't have weapons. He didn't have a line. He didn't have a fantastic defense backing him up.
Same thing with Josh Rosen.
You got it.
You're putting too much credit. You're putting too much responsibility in Sam Darnold's corner.
It's the same thing.
You need to evenly evaluate, or you need to give that responsibility to the entire team. And you need to listen to me.
He's
for the love.
I'm listening.
You're attacking,
not you!
You're attacking Jackson right now, too.
How?
No,
all
he's
those
not.
Things you said about all his right, team.
All right,
dumb.
We're no,
be quiet. I'm evaluating this. The same things you said are the exact same things the Cardinals have issues with. Every single thing.
Rosen was worse than Darnold, but I'm saying Ronald Jones II was more disappointing.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway,
okay,
getting on to a
okay, I'm not even going to talk
before
about
before you start,
this.
Logan, Jacob.
I agree
Ronald
with Jackson.
Jones actually did... go into the regular season being the featured back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. He went in preseason. It was Ponte Barber. Peyton Barber. Sorry, that's my
name. Ponte.
Sorry.
I love the name Ponte.
Sorry. Peyton Barber was the featured back.
It says Peyton Barber, the Bucs' clear number one running back first day of the regular season.
Okay. But Ronald Jones was drafted to take over.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
Ronald Jones was the third string running back. They signed Jacquizz Rodgers from Atlanta expecting him to be really good, too.
But you don't draft an early second-round pick to be a backup.
Nick
Chubb was drafted after him, and Nick Chubb was expected to be a backup, too, but he just emerged quicker. So how can we say Ronald Jones is...
He averaged 1.9 yards a carry
when
on
Nick
23
Chubb got
yards
a chance,
in 9 games.
When Nick Chubb got a chance, he did well. But Ronald Jones hasn't gotten a significant chance.
But Nick Chubb
chance.
Played himself
he,
into that chance.
23
Ronald
carries
Jones
not that much.
He had
9
games.
We're getting too stuck on this.
And he got a one-game workload. He got a one-game workload.
Yeah, you got
see
it.
What
you
I'm
got
saying.
It, Logan. Sorry.
That's true.
Let's transition to the more established players in the NFL with our most disappointing defensive player of the year. Jackson, you go first. Who did you pick?
For most disappointing, honestly, if I'm going with this is like halfway through the season, though, so I'm not sure how felt this is going to be. But, haha, Clinton Dix. Hi, Jacob.
Yeah.
Haha, Clinton Dix.
Did he just leave?
He just left.
Left his coat.
Jacob Masick just left everything.
Is he coming back?
I think so.
Okay. And then, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's all right. my point would be haha Clinton Dix on the Washington football team.
I'm so proud of you.
Being traded to them halfway through the year before the trade deadline, high hopes were made for the Washington football team with being playoff contenders, especially with a struggling defense. Being one of the best safeties in the league, haha, definitely had a chance to spread his wings. But I didn't hear any of his name in any headline unless it was concerning the trade. So, unfortunately, I appreciate haha for what he's done for the Packers, but concerning his season with the Redskins, I'm going to have to go with him as my most disappointing player.
All
right. Being an established
veteran. I see your point there, and you made valid arguments and points. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Logan.
Jacob, would you like to do the same?
Nope.
All right. Then I'll go next. I nominated Vic Beasley because he didn't have a good year in 2017. He had 5 sacks. But the year before that, he had 15.5, and he led the NFL. And this year was expected to be more of a comeback year for him. A return to form, and he definitely disappointed in that stance. He moved back to an outside rusher as a defensive end, started 9 games, played in all 16, and only managed to get 5 sacks again, had 8 quarterback hits. If you combine his sacks and quarterback hits from the last 2 years, they won't even match up to what is how many he had in his big emergence year in 2016. So I think Vic Beasley has definitely went from what looked to be a franchise player on the outside for the Atlanta Falcons to just a rotational rusher. And because of that, I'd say he's definitely my most disappointing player this year on the defensive side of the ball. Jacob, you good to go?
Nope.
Why?
I'm not doing it.
Why?
Because he's mad.
I am mad, yep.
Why?
He's mad at me.
I'm not taking it anymore because I believe there's complete bias, so.
A bias?
Yep.
Where?
I am not going to participate in this because I believe that it's negative and the person who's running it is just shutting down other people.
That's fair. Conscientious objectors. I love Hacksaw Ridge. That's my favorite movie. All right. Offensive. Most disappointing player of the year. Who'd you got, Jackson?
Logan Tracy.
That's my...
Oh, that sorry. I thought you said most disappointing podcaster.
Okay.
Good one.
This is getting...
All right. Worst offensive player. Who do you got, Jackson?
Kirk Cousins.
Oh, I did not pick Kirk Cousins, but...
For me, I agree. Just being like, you're coming in with the one of the biggest guaranteed contracts in the league history of the NFL Football League, and...
Thank you.
You come in with so much hype.
Some realistic expectations for a player that isn't drafted.
Thank you.
That's a really good point.
And Kirk Cousins really just disappointed me because I expected so much from him. I mean, I might be like a little bit more biased since I was a Vikings fan. I had such high hopes for this team. At least to make the playoffs. But he couldn't even give us that. Case Keenum led us to the playoffs. But Kirk Cousins couldn't. So he has a lot to work on. He has a lot to gain my trust again. But for me, Kirk Cousins definitely did not prove himself to be a good leader, as seen in the last game of the season with Adam Thielen and himself getting into it. I think that they have a lot to work on, and I think Kirk Cousins needs to live up to his contract.
That's definitely fair. I will.
Welcome to the Thunderdome.
I definitely agree with you that Kirk Cousins did not live up to that contract.
Sure.
I will disagree with you. I think the Adam Thielen situation was a little overblown.
Sure.
And I think that the issues are much bigger than him. I think the O-line played a huge role in his performance this year.
That's fair, but I think...
That's not to say he's not disappointing. I agree with you.
Right.
I just want to provide
No, that's not
context.
No, I appreciate
I almost went with my homer pick, too, and picked Case Keenum. But I'd be lying if I said my expectations for Keenum were that high. So it was hard to be disappointed. I picked Blake Bortles.
That's a good pick.
Because coming into a new contract for him, coming off a very good playoff performance, I thought that he would feel motivated to show up. He definitely had to feel the pressure. And not only did he disappoint, he lost his job. Which, I like Blake Bortles, but he proved that he's not an NFL starting quarterback this year. I mean, you could at least make the case that he won playoff games last year, even if the defense did carry him, but he was abysmal. There was nobody worse than him on offense, in my opinion, except for maybe Nathan Peter meme. So, I think Blake Bortles was the easy pick. It was the first name that popped into my head. Now, let's get to our most terrible, least valuable player award. The pinnacle of all anyone's worked for this season.
The epitome of mediocrity.
Jacob, would you like to get in on this
one? Yeah, Ronald Jones.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good pick. I like it. I agree.
Definitely Ronald Jones. Definitely the worst player on 23 carries in 9 games because of injuries.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I skipped something.
Yeah, I'm going Nathan Peterman is the worst player. It's self-explainable. Jackson, it's your turn.
I was going to say, I skipped worst coach. But can we all agree it's Hugh Jackson? Hugh Jackson?
Yeah.
That's fair.
I'll agree with that.
No.
Who do you think it was, Jake?
I don't have an opinion.
Okay. My least valuable player... I'll let you go.
No, you go. I have to think of another one because Jake took mine.
I picked Le'Veon Bell. Because Le'Veon Bell just didn't show up at all. Not in a sense, obviously, because he just wasn't with the team. And, I mean, he's one of the best running backs in football, and he didn't show up, and he made no impact, and it impacted the Steelers. I know they recovered, and they had great performances out of James Conner. But still, that's just my pick because it's disappointing that he didn't play. You never want to see star players sit out, even if I don't always like them as people. And Le'Veon Bell, I mean, his absence was felt, and it was a kind of a cloud over the Steelers in the NFL all this season, in my opinion. So,
all right. Since I have to think of someone else than Peterman, just to play devil's advocate, I'm going to go with a little comedy here. Laquan Treadwell. Literally every time this guy touches the ball, it somehow bops out of his hands, except if it's one-handing it for, like, 3 times in his career. But, I just don't see the valuableness of a player that just drops passes, and you're a wide receiver for a living on a professional football team. So... Laquan Treadwell is my meme least valuable player. So, yeah.
Are you calling him memes?
He's a meme.
He gets a meme award. All right.
I agree with Jackson.
Thank you, Jacob.
Before we end the show...
I got you.
Jacob, you're right. The show was mean. I was frustrated. I am sorry. And I will let you end the show with Crone's Corner.
Crone's Corner!
Crone's Corner! Crone's Corner! Crone's Corner!
There will be no Crone's Corner today.
Oh,
no!
Laquan!
Give the people what they want!
The subject today was the 20 worst trades in sports. We will
do them! I
want to
hear them! No, I want to hear them!
No, everyone! I just want you to know... Jacob, I want you to know that people are going to try to take you down in this world.
I'd like to connect... Stop!
Get your hands off me, Jacob! Jacob!
I like to use this time to let you know that. Negativity exists in the world. Be a positive impact in person's life at this time. That's going to be our Crone's Corner for today. I'd like you to use the time that Crone's Corner would have used today to go out and do something nice for another person.
You give the people what they want.
So go do that today. Do it for your mother and father. They have a great impact in your life. Be around them. People aren't around forever, so do good things for them. Do one good thing. That's your goal for the rest of the day. Thank you. We appreciate you. Goodbye.